All right, look with me in Genesis 29. Genesis 29, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to talk about breakout this morning. Breakout. Genesis 29, beginning in verse 1. This is the story of Jacob at Uncle Laban's house. The Bible says, Genesis 29, verse 1, then Jacob continued on his journey, and he came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the open country with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was very large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" "Yes, we know him," they answered. Then Jacob asked them, "Is he well?" "Yes, he is," they said. "And here comes his daughter Rachel with his sheep." "Look," he said, "the sun is still high. It's not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to the pasture." "We can't," they replied, "until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep." While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you're a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." And if you know the story, we're going to tell the story. When Laban says, "Tell me what your wages should be," we need to add an LOL there, a laugh out loud. All right, let's talk about breakout this morning. Let's talk about breakout. You know, as I was reflecting on this shutdown a week or two ago, the Lord started reminding me of heroes in the Bible who endured stuck seasons, much like the one that we're in right now. And they not only endured those seasons, but by faith, they emerged from those seasons as overcomers. And I believe that God wants the same for us, both as individuals and as a corporate body. God doesn't want us to merely survive this shutdown. God wants us to thrive during this shutdown, and especially after this shutdown. Right now, we're looking at these heroes' stories, and we're finding some keys to help us get unstuck. Genesis chapters 29 through 31 tell the story of the patriarch Jacob at his uncle Laban's house. For 20 years, Jacob was stuck under crooked uncle Laban's thumb. In every way, Laban tried to control Jacob. He tried to suppress Jacob. He tried to make him servile and confine him. But on his way to Uncle Laban's, Jacob had an encounter with the Lord one night. God made a promise to Jacob. He said, "Jacob, I will be with you. I will watch over you everywhere you go. And listen, your children will be like the dust of the earth, and they will break out in every direction, north, south, east, and west." The English translation in Genesis 28:14 says they will spread out in every direction, but the Hebrew word is they will break out. You know, that word break out, it occurs again and again in the story of Jacob and then in the history of the children of Israel moving forward through the Old Testament. In spite of Judah's mistreatment of his daughter-in-law, Tamar, she broke out and she gave birth to twins. In spite of the Egyptians' severe oppression of the children of Israel, they broke out and they became a huge nation, and they left Egypt with all the riches of Egypt. 1,000 years later, Jacob's descendant, King David, uses this very same word, break out, to describe God breaking out on David's enemies like waters break out of a dam that has been breached. Jacob, I will be with you, and you will be unstoppable. I will be with you, and no one will be able to prevent or even delay my timing for your advance. I will be with you, and no one will be able to hold you back from flourishing. I will be with you, and no one will be able to limit your growth and your success. No one will be able to suppress you. No one will be able to confine you. No one will be able to contain you. No one will be able to make you servile. I will be with you, and no one will be able to rob your blessings. No one will be able to preclude your prosperity. I will be with you, and no one will stop your seed from spreading a blessing to the whole earth. You know, in the middle of this stuck season, I believe God wants to speak an encouraging promise to us. Just as God was with Jacob at Uncle Laban's, God is with us right now. And his promise to us is that he's going to help us to break out. His promise to us is that he's going to make us unstoppable. He is going to make us uncontainable, irrepressible, unfettered, unobstructed, unthwarted, unlimited. His promise to us is that we're going to be blessed and that we're going to break out in every direction, carrying his blessing with us. Everyone's speculating now about the days to come following this shutdown. And they're talking about what will be the new normal. You know, I don't know what the new normal might mean for others, but I can tell you exactly what it means for us as God's people. It's going to be extraordinary. It's going to be exceptional. It's going to be exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or what we could even imagine. God is not going to help us to merely emerge from this shutdown. God is going to help us to break out. Looking at Jacob at Uncle Laban's house, I see a few things that God can use to help you break out in your stuck season. And I want to share them with you quickly this morning. A few things God can use to help you break out of your stuck season. First of all, God can use your passion. God can use your passion. Jacob was a man of passion, and that was something that God used. Jacob had a passion for organizational leadership. He had a passion for motivating and influencing people. And again, if you know the story, we could add an LOL there, laugh out loud. He had a passion for good management. He had a passion for creating systems and moving people into those systems. Jacob had a passion for agribusiness. He had a passion for husbandry. That's the care of and the breeding of livestock. He turned Laban's penny-ante sheep farm into a massive, diversified operation of camels and donkeys and personnel. Jacob had a passion for land and natural resource management. He had a passion for hard work and for excellence. I love this. When Jacob first arrives in Uncle Laban's neighborhood, he meets three shepherds hanging out by a well in the middle of the day. And even though Jacob is a perfect stranger and a foreigner, he confronts them. He says, "Hey, what are these sheep doing here by this well in the middle of the day? They should be out in the pasture." And then Jacob actually gives them an order. He says, "Water these sheep and get them back out in the pasture where they belong." That's his gift of leadership expressing itself. The lazy shepherds answer back to him, "There aren't enough men here to remove the heavy cover from the well." So Jacob moved the stone himself. He wasn't the type of person to stand by and do nothing. In fact, it was passion that drew Jacob to Rachel. She was taking care of her father's sheep when he met her. She was doing what the lazy male shepherds were not doing. And she had fire in her eyes. Her eyes sparkled with enthusiasm and intelligence, unlike her older sister, whose eyes bespoke of a quiet and reserved personality. Jacob had a passion for life. He had a passion for family. He looked very much forward to marriage and to having children and building a home. And God used all of those passions to help Jacob to eventually break out. And God wants to use our passions too. You know, I don't think we have very much longer to go on this shutdown, but while we're still shut down, here's a really good exercise. Sit down with a piece of paper and ask yourself, what am I passionate about? Is it leadership? Is it management? Is it organization? Building wealth? Creativity? Craftsmanship? Marriage and family? Is it helping people? You know, my whole life, I've been passionate about church, and I've been passionate about church architecture. By the grace of God, He helped us to build the physical structure that we always dreamed that we would build. But I want you to know, even before the shutdown began, I felt the Lord pulling my heart in a new direction. Now, after sitting in an empty 60,000 square foot building all alone for 6 weeks, you know, I feel God pulling me in a new direction even more. I'll always love church buildings, but I'm done building church buildings. Now I want to work on building people. Specifically, I have this growing passion in my heart to help people find freedom and find healing in Jesus Christ. And we're going to move in that direction this year. Maybe one outcome of this shutdown is that God wants you to discover a passion that you were too busy to notice before. Maybe God wants to use this shutdown to refocus or redirect you. You know, I love the promise of Philippians 2, verse 13. Paul says, "It is God who works in you first to will and then to do His good pleasure." The Holy Spirit moves in our heart and He gives us a godly passion to do something new that we've never done before. And then the Holy Spirit opens doors and He anoints us and He empowers to do those things. Listen, I believe that God has a word for someone listening to this service today. God has ordained this time to refocus you. The things that you have been pouring all of your time and all of your energy and all of your resources into is not what God has for your future. It was okay for yesterday, but it's not what God has for your tomorrow. Following this shutdown, God is going to redirect you to something new. A few things that God can use to help you break out of your stuck season. Number one, your passion. Number two, God can use your strengths and your skills. God can use your strengths and your skills. Listen, listen, listen. This is very important. A strength is a God-given gift that you were born with. A skill is the effort that you make to develop his gifts. A gift without discipline almost always goes to waste. Ever since my kids were little, I have always taught them, discipline beats talent every time when talent doesn't work. Physically, Jacob was a powerful man. You know, the boyhood descriptions of Jacob in Genesis 27 and 28 make him sound like maybe he was kind of wimpy. He was his mother's favorite. He was a mama's boy. His brother was a hairy hunter, while Jacob looked after all the domesticated livestock. But listen, smooth does not mean scrawny. In the tradition of the Jewish rabbis, Jacob is said to be a giant in stature. Single-handedly, Jacob moved a huge stone that three men couldn't move without additional help. 20 years later, Jacob wrestled with an angel, and the angel had to injure Jacob in order to break Jacob's powerful grip. He also fathered 13 children in 7 years, 12 boys and one girl. I'm just saying right there. God used Jacob's strength, and God added his own supernatural strength to it. And listen, here's a word for you. God is going to add his strength to your strengths too. God is going to use your strengths for your good and for his ultimate glory. But listen, Jacob developed his strengths into skills. Jacob studied his business and he mastered it. He was thoroughly familiar with the best practices of agribusiness and husbandry. He learned all the tricks of his trade. In the hands of Uncle Laban and his lazy sons, the flocks didn't flourish much. But in Jacob's capable hands, they were blessed and they overflowed. And listen, that's exactly what God wants to do for us. God wants us to develop our skills so that he can bless the work of our hands. You know, none of us really wanted this shutdown, but God has a purpose in it. God wants to use this shutdown to shake us up a little bit and to wake us up. Rather than doing things the way that we have always done them, God is forcing us to innovate. He's forcing us to rethink and to reimagine and to recreate. Here's a very good prayer to pray during this quarantine. Lord, after this shutdown, what do you want me to do differently than before? A few things that God can use to help you break out of your stuck season. He can use your passion. He can use your strength and your skills. Third, God can use your servanthood. Jacob had the birthright, and he had the blessing of Abraham resting over his life, but he wasn't above serving ungrateful Uncle Laban for 20 years. Two observations I want to make. Number one, working to support his family wasn't drudgery to Jacob. Uncle Laban tells Jacob to name his wages, and Jacob asks for Rachel's hand in marriage. So Laban quotes a bride price of 7 years' labor. At the going labor rate of a shepherd, what Laban quoted was double the normal bride price. Jacob paid a premium price for Rachel, and he would end up paying even more than he knew. But the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel so much that those 7 years seemed like only a few days to him. Listen. When you have a servant's heart, it is not a burden to bust your backside to provide a good future for your family. You don't mind the sweat. You don't mind the frustration. You don't mind the challenge. You don't mind zipping your lips when you're mad at your boss in order to keep your job. That was for somebody. When you have a servant's heart, it's not a burden for you to provide a good future for your family. Here's the second observation. In spite of Uncle Laban's mistreatment, Jacob served with all of his intelligence and all of his ability and all of his diligence. Over 20 years, Uncle Laban renegotiated Jacob's contract downward 10 times. Jacob took 10 pay cuts. Yet he remained completely loyal, hardworking, and a trustworthy employee. Listen, I believe that God has a word for someone listening to this service today. So somebody listen, receive the word of the Lord. If you are caught in an oppressive work situation, the key to ultimately breaking out is not to underperform, but to overperform. Maybe like Jacob, you work for someone who really doesn't appreciate your value to the organization. Or maybe worse, they recognize that you're a workhorse and they take advantage of that. They squeeze everything they can out of you and they profit from it, but they don't fairly compensate you for it or recognize you for it. Listen, until God opens the next door and tells you to move on, give all that you have right where you are. Why? Because we serve the Lord and not men. The Bible says, do everything you do as unto the Lord. Do everything you do with diligence and with excellence, representing His name. God is keeping perfect score in heaven, and He will absolutely reward your faithful, diligent, serving heart. Somebody please listen. God said to Jacob, don't you worry about it, Jacob. I have seen everything Laban has done to you. I know I've been quiet for a little while, but I haven't forgotten what I promised you in the beginning. I will cause you to break out. Somebody listen today. I'm preaching to someone. God can't ever bless underperformance. It is just not in His nature. But God always, always, always rewards overperformance. He can't help Himself. Serve wholeheartedly, Paul wrote, as if you're serving the Lord, not people, because you know the Lord will reward you. And that is good preaching right there. A few things that God can use to help you break out of your stuck season. Number one, your passion. Number two, your strength, your skills. Number three, your servanthood. Number four, your humility. God can use your humility. So, you know, people are taken these days with the Hindu doctrine of karma. Karma is cause and effect. You get what you deserve. As Christians, we don't believe in karma. Instead, the message of the cross is mercy and grace. Mercy means we don't get the punishment we do deserve. Grace means that we do get God's good blessings that we don't deserve. Listen, I will take mercy and grace over karma every day of the week. But we do need to talk about sowing and reaping. The Bible tells us that our sin always catches up with us. God said through Moses, be sure your sin will find you out. He said through Paul, don't kid yourself. Whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Now listen to me this morning. When we belong to the Lord, God uses sowing and reaping redemptively in our lives to humble us and to transform us. God uses it for our good. Uncle Laban lived in a place called Paddan Aram. Paddan Aram means the plain of exaltation. God brought Jacob to the plain of exaltation to bring him low, to humble him, and to break him of his trickery and his self-reliance. You see, listen, God can't do anything with us while we're walking in pride. God can't do anything with us while we're relying on our own wisdom and our own strength, and even worse, while we're relying on dishonest tactics and means. Jesus said that the doorway to salvation is the point at which we realize that we are absolutely helpless, spiritually speaking. It's only when we're reduced to the vulnerability and the powerlessness and the dependence of a small child that the life of faith truly begins. Listen, everything that Jacob perpetrated on his father Isaac and his brother Esau, Jacob became the victim of at Uncle Laban's house. Jacob disguised himself to deceive his blind father, and on his own wedding night, Jacob was deceived by darkness and by a costume in order to consummate a marriage with Leah instead of Rachel. Jacob exploited his brother for a pot of soup, and Jacob was exploited by a basket of fruit. Jacob tried to rob his brother of his material blessings, and Laban tried to rob Jacob. But here's the important part. Jacob took his lumps without giving up or giving in to bitterness. Listen. In this life, we are gonna take some lumps. The Bible just tells us straight out. The New Testament book of James says God uses diverse trials to make us mature. This shutdown has certainly been a different kind of trial than we have ever seen before, but God is using it to make us mature. St. Peter writes, expect fiery trials to come and refine your faith. I looked up those words. You know what they mean? Fiery trials. The New Testament book of Hebrews says God uses hardships to discipline us. He uses hardships to train us and shape us, and yes, even to correct us. But don't give up and don't give in to bitterness. In God's economy, the way up is first to go down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Few things God can use to help you break out of your stuck season. Gotta hurry on now. Another thing God can use, your perseverance. Your perseverance. Don't have time to dwell on this, but perseverance requires two things. It requires flexibility, and it requires compromise. I'm not talking about moral compromise. I'm talking about practical compromises. We've already demonstrated that Jacob was no physical wimp. Jacob wasn't a pushover either. But in order to achieve his ultimate goals, Jacob had to roll with the punches at Uncle Laban's house. Jacob certainly stood up for himself and his family. He spoke up for himself when it was appropriate. But since Uncle Laban had the upper hand, Jacob had to play the hand that he was dealt, relying on the wisdom and the protection of the Lord. He had to keep adapting and renegotiating with God's help. How does that old saying go? No battle plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. Listen, your flexibility when things don't go as planned is something God can work with. Your willingness to make practical compromises is something God can work with. Let him who has ears hear the word of the Lord today. Few things God can use to help you break out of your stuck season: your passion, your strength and skills, your servanthood, your humility, your perseverance. Finally, this: God can use your faith. God can use your faith. After 14 years of difficulties, God finally speaks to Jacob in a dream. You know, in 2016, in fact, exactly 2 years ago this month, God spoke to me in a dream about this unprecedented season that we're in right now. President Trump, who was then a candidate, was in that dream. This was before he even got the Republican nomination, to everyone's surprise. I had absolutely no idea what the dream meant until just a couple of weeks ago. But listen, that dream the Lord gave me, it has fed my faith for HTC through this crisis. That's how I know that we're in a God-appointed season and that God is up to something very, very big. My prayer for you is that God will speak to you in this stuck season, whether it's from your reading of the Bible, whether it's from a prophetic word that someone gives you, or whether it's a still small voice in your spirit, or even if it's in a dream. Looking at Jacob very quick, let me share two ways to exercise faith during this stuck season. First of all, learn to identify signs of God's favor. Unlike Jacob, Uncle Laban and his sons were not good managers, and they were not hardworking. Laban devoured everything he could get his hands on. But after 14 years of diligence, Jacob turned Laban's little flock into a major livestock operation. Jacob says to Uncle Laban, listen, this is so good. Genesis 30, verse 30. Jacob says to Uncle Laban, the little bit that you had when I came here has, listen to these words, has broken out because God has blessed you wherever I have been. I love that. Jacob recognized that God's blessing on Laban was actually God's blessing on Jacob. I have a word for someone listening this morning. Don't you get jealous when God blesses Uncle Laban's house for your sake. See it for what it is. God is not blessing crooked Uncle Laban, but it's a sign of God's imminent blessing that is going to come upon you. God blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. God blessed the house of Obed-Edom because the Ark of the Covenant was hosted there. God even blessed Babylon for the sake of the Jewish captives that were living there. You know that we pray that every week over our HTC family. We pray that God will bless the company that you work for because you're there. We pray that the department, the division that you work for will be the most successful, most efficient, most profitable department or division in the whole company because you're there. Now listen, don't you get discouraged when God blesses your company, messed up as it is, because God is setting you up for a transfer of blessing to you. Another sign of favor was the birth at last of Joseph from barren Rachel. When Jacob saw that, he knew that it was the signal that God was about to set in motion the process that would lead to his breakout. It took 6 more years to play out, but from that moment forward, when Joseph is born, everything starts moving in Jacob's favor. May God give you grace. May God anoint your eyes to recognize his signs of favor on you in this season. I am prophesying to someone this morning. This shutdown is a turning point for you. I feel it right now in the name of Jesus. It's going to take a little time to play out. It's going to take a little time to work itself out. But everything that has been working against you is going to start moving in your favor from this point forward. Two ways to exercise faith in this stuck season. Listen, I'm done, and then we're going to take communion. Stay with us 5 more minutes. Two ways to exercise your faith in a stuck season. Number one, recognize the signs of his favor. Second, act in alignment with God's promises. Real quick, let me finish for you the story of Jacob at Uncle Laban's house. God spoke to Jacob in a dream. When Joseph is born, Jacob approaches Uncle Laban and he says, "Let me go home now to my father's house." Laban says, "No, stay here a little longer. Name your wages." Again, we need to insert an LOL. In the words of the little French feather duster to Lumiere, "I've been bound by you before." Jacob asks for something very odd. He asks for all the white spotted goats and all the black sheep. Now, in the Middle East, goats are black and sheep are white. What Jacob asks for are the undesirables of the flock. Uncle Laban eagerly agrees because these make up a very small percentage of the overall flock. He thinks that once again he's going to get the better of Jacob. Why did Jacob ask for the undesirables? Because in a dream, God gave Jacob that strategy for building his wealth. God used what was undesirable to make Jacob become the envy of Laban and his sons. That's the way that God always works. You remember, Lot took the good land and he left Abraham the bad land, but because of the blessing of the Lord, the bad land became the land flowing with milk and honey, and because of Lot's sin, the good land became the Dead Sea. Here's a word for someone. During this stuck season, listen, receive it. Reach out with that little hand called faith that's attached to your heart. Receive this word and pull it into your heart. In this season, God is going to tell you exactly what to ask for. He's going to tell you when to ask for it and how to ask for it. God is going to build your wealth in unusual ways using very unusual things and unusual means. As a final, I'm done. Listen, stay with me. As a final parting shot, Uncle Laban goes through his herds and he removes all the white spotted goats and all the black sheep and he pastures them far, far away under the care of his lazy sons. Laban is trying to absolutely guarantee that Jacob will have nothing. He has nothing to start with, and the black goats will give birth to black goats, and the white sheep will give birth to white sheep, and Jacob will be left penniless. But listen to me, someone, hear the word of the Lord. When God is determined to bless something, no scheme of man can hold back his blessing, even if you have absolutely nothing to start with. In the careless hands of Uncle Laban's sons, his flocks diminished. But in the capable, blessed hands of Jacob, he started a cross-breeding program, and the white-spotted goats and the black sheep multiplied like rabbits. God took Jacob's passion, his strengths and his skills, his servanthood, his humility, his perseverance, his faith, and God added his blessing to it, and Jacob broke out. Listen to the conclusion in Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, and we're done. Genesis 30, verse 43 says, "In this way, Jacob broke out." The word in your English translation is "he prospered," but the word in Hebrew is "he broke out." In this way, Jacob broke out, and he came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. Everybody, just look right here at me if you would, please. My precious, precious HTC family, may God give you a spirit of faith to believe that we're not just going to finish out this shutdown. We're going to break out of it with the blessings of God.